Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge. But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yeah, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference, just like Pertec does. Welcome back to Andy Raymond Unfiltered. This is the Legend Series with Ben Barber, Part 2. Enjoy.
Out of a negative comes a positive. You ended up at the Sharks. In 2016, you climbed the mountain.
So here's Ennis now. Fifita tries to crash his way over. He does. Fifita got the ball over the line. Michael Ennis and Ben Barber celebrate.
Five,
they
mate.
Saw what I saw.
I've got try.
We
the
all saw what you saw.
Touched anyone else,
Fifita's got it on the ground.
What stands out from the grand final? What's your go-to memory, Benny?
Obviously the try with Andrew is a big one.
Yeah.
But I sort of see myself as a realist now, because I always tell people that the scrum before, with a minute to go, I told Val and Birdie to just stay up, don't push back too far, and I know we won and everything, but it still gives me nightmares, because you watch it. The reason why Melbourne were able to go back and back,
yeah,
because there's one bit there they ran, and Bell and Birdie were already trying to cover on the other side. And I try to explain to people, I said, watch this. I say something to them, and then you watch this to love them to death, because they're just the youth and their exuberance.
Yeah.
That's what, I don't know why it does, but it sticks out, because then that allowed Melbourne to do their cross the field, made a break. And
yep.
If you ever watch when they go to the right side, they're nearly behind me covering as well. And then when they pass to the other side, they're not there. But again, their youth and their excitement got them back there. But
one of the great finishes.
Yeah. As I said, I could easily sit here and talk about it now with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
But even sometimes I replay it and watch it, and you get nervous about it, but you obviously know the result.
Probably not your best memory was what followed. The celebrations continued. They did get out of control and a bad decision was made. Is that the regret, mate? You're on top of the world and then all of a sudden you're just not?
Yeah. Not so more for me, but I guess for me family. I was lucky enough at the time, obviously, the overseas was an option. But
yep.
As you just said, the biggest regret was not knowing then where the next paycheck was coming from, and having houses and all such a season, cars,
having houses,
stuff,
having families,
having
people
families
relying
that,
on
the pressure, because of my stupidness, the pressure was then back on all my family, and a decision that obviously I was lucky enough to be able to then go overseas and at that time and experience. So yeah, it was. There's a lot of regret there, because again, there was more so just the pressure I put on my family and what they were then having to go through the next couple of months. Whereas for me, it was just move on, next job, next club, next team, sort of thing. So,
As quick as the rise is, the fall is equally as quick. Again, there's no manual for it. Who did you turn to when times got tough? Did you look at yourself and ask yourself questions, or were you reliant on who?
Obviously, I think at the time it was my partner played a big role.
Yep.
She was the probably rock solid because when I left to go overseas, they stayed behind for a couple of months.
Yep.
She had to deal with everything of getting everything sorted and all that sort of stuff. And obviously they're my family. My family plays a big part in my life. So
absolutely.
They were more so not being the you shouldn't have done this, you should have this, but just the they knew I was an adult and I had stuffed up. So I didn't need any more people to tell me what I'd done and what was going wrong. So I'm very thankful for them because they sort of were just there to just basically reassure me that everything was going to be all right and things would turn around.
We've had this discussion before about your family, who are so important. You've mentioned them so many times already throughout this interview. They're going to be the first ones to say what you did was stupid, what you did was wrong, pull your head in, but then they're going to hug you and say, how do we make this better? Gee, that's important in a family unit. Whatever the mistake is, you need to be told with no bullshit, but then you need a bit of help.
Yeah, no, definitely. And as you said, I'm a big family man, and the way, as you said, you said it was perfect. That you need that they're the ones that you truly know that they're what they say is coming from a special part there in their heart. So again, I'm lucky enough. I've got a wonderful family. I've got a lot of brothers, a wonderful mum and dad, one lone sister there somewhere. But and again, even my own immediate family, my four daughters. I'm very lucky to still have them in my life on a regular.
Your time in the UK with St Helens, enjoyable, certainly successful. A man of steel to go with a Dally M, just the second bloke to achieve it. Very cool, mate.
Yeah. I think the big thing for me over there was I said if I'm going to be here at 27, because a lot of guys don't go sort of in their prime sort of thing.
Yeah.
And obviously I ended up there on a bit silly circumstances, yep. But I basically told myself I'm going to be here, I'm going to give it a red hot crack and make the most of it and try and adapt, because obviously the game's a little bit different over there.
Yeah, it is.
Probably worked in my favour because it's a lot more open and free. And lucky enough, I went over there and Justin Holbrook was a coach at St Helens, and I had some time with him. He was the Premier League coach at the Dogs when I was there. So he allowed me to have my say and be very, very, it's a hard word.
A leader.
Yeah, a leader. Yeah. And obviously 27-year-old and obviously not being around, I was playing with guys like James Roby and John Wilkin, got legends of the English game, and just allowed me to be a bigger voice than what I would be over here where I was sort of just off the cuff of being a leader over here. So, I just said, look, if I'm over here, I'm going to have red hot crack, and was disappointed not to win a premiership over there. I know they've gone on to win four in a row after I left. So it was a bit sad that I couldn't top it all off with a Super League ring as well.
Rugby union, AFL, soccer, you tried everything to remain active, just a natural sportsman. Were there days it felt like your world had come crashing down, there was no one there to help, and all you wanted to do was play rugby league?
Not so much. I'm sort of one of the guys, as you said, that was just likes to keep moving, and I don't really like to sit still so much, because then you sit back and gives you too much time to think. And one thing I was always sort of say now, if I sit down too long, it's I start to reflect on the what ifs, and I just try that's probably why I try and play every sport I can. My mum still has a go at me. He goes, have a rest once in your life and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, mum, if only you knew, I would.
Yeah.
If I could, I would. It's hard to say because I don't like sitting or think, because you sort of think about the past.
Fishermen and women, are you ready? It's on again. It's the best thing going too. The Pertec Fishing Challenge is back April 20 and 21. It is the country's largest fishing challenge for those with the competitive edge.
But there's a kicker. All proceeds, yep, all proceeds are donated to Pertec's key charity partners, Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia and the Peter Duncan Neuroscience Research Unit at St Vincent's Hospital. It's just $30 to register, and each registration receives a limited edition cap, a brag mat and a sticker. There's a prize pool of over $300,000, including three boats and a jet ski to be won. And you can win the major prizes just by registering. You don't even need to fish. Grab your mates, register today. Head to pertecfishingchallenge.com.au for more information. And even if you're not going to cast a line, you can make a difference just like Pertec does.
The good times we get to see, share with you and enjoy the celebrations. The negative times or the dark times, you're often by yourself. How difficult, how dark did, you know, the tough times get?
Yeah, probably to, as I said, to the point of, suicide. We sit there, they're like, oh, I can't do this no more. And it's sad because it's not just me. It's society these days. And obviously, mine was a little bit more. Obviously, in the media and all that sort of stuff, and there's times there where you I just wanted to end it all, and it's hard to it's easy to say this, and you sort of look at guys that do it, you think, oh, what, so weak, and why do they do that? But then when you're in that position yourself, you think, well, hold on a second, it is that easy to take all your problems away by, and. I always speak about it, but my four girls probably saved me more times than one, he's been a lot of times, and I'm not ashamed to say it, where I thought my life would be easier, but then that's easy for me to say because I could only imagine theirs if they woke up and their dad wasn't around.
You're leaving
around.
A devastation behind.
If they woke up and their dad wasn't around anymore, so it's they probably saved me more times than they really know.
You certainly don't need me to stand up for you, but you're early to mid-20s. God knows I was making huge mistakes at that age. If I'm honest, I still am at this stage. That's me. That's my weakness, whether it's immaturity, whether it's bad decision-making, whether it's easily influenced. It is what it is. What was it for you, mate, as you look back now as a more mature version of Ben Barber, those decisions, why did they happen and how do you change them? Tough question.
Yeah, very tough. But now when I think about it, I should have handled them a lot better. But like you said, no one taught me to be Benny Barber, the Benny Barber, the football star, the famous person, such as such. I said, where I came from, my parents worked hard for what we had, and I did come from a lot, but I wish I had that little bit more knowledge and the strength to be able to handle it a lot better. Because now when I think about it, I still probably wouldn't be able to do it these days as an older guy, because I don't think it was ingrained in me. I've had some good role models in my life, but I didn't have too many to choose from. I was basically, you could probably say, just watching movies and they were my role models. So, I've spoken about it before, but again, I love my dad, and he was a bit of a wild man, and so I didn't have too many to choose from. But I wish I had the right tools now when I think back to be able to handle it, because who knows, I could still be playing and still running around and probably ready to retire now though, because I'm 34.
Everyone has their triggers. Everyone, we often make excuses for them, but we know what they are. Reckon you've reached that point where you know your triggers, you know how to handle them or handle them better?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. That's hence probably why I tried to look at everything so much on a relaxed point of view, because the world's moving too fast to be able to keep up with it, sort of thing. So that's why I try to just get on with life and just, as you said, be a regular Joe Blow, do his job, and have a beer and just have fun and not try and get too worked up. And you probably say it's probably why I don't watch footy anymore, because it's
it does
because I don't like watching footy with people as well, because it's sort of just being that, having that inside knowledge and hearing your regular Joe Bowes go, oh, this and that, and I sort of sit back sometimes and go, hold on a second, like.
I don't watch footy with anyone, mate.
I hate it. I don't, even when I go to a pub, I try and stick away, because it's probably one thing I can't stand is, it's just that sort of people. So that's probably why I've sort of just tried to sit back and just try and relax, because I said, I've still got them triggers in me that I know I've still fixed. It's not with my inner demons and all that sort of stuff, and it's not just a easy one day fix. It's obviously a time healing process. So I just try and keep as relaxed as possible and lean on my family and my new partner at the moment.
I'm really fortunate in the fact I know all of my guests personally, away from the spotlight, away from the sport. I get to know the real them. And you know what? It's great seeing you, because every time I do, you have a smile on your face and you make me feel good about myself. You make me feel positive. You make me feel energetic. Have you ever been told that before by someone else, that you're quite a vibrant young bloke?
Yeah.
It's a nice rap.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thanks for that too. A fair bit. Probably just because, as I said, it's... I'm sort of like the duck on water. Like I said, I'm dealing with my own stuff, but as I said, life's too short to hold grudges or be angry. And when you, especially when you see people, and as you said, you haven't seen them for a lot, there's nothing better than being able to put a smile on their face. And if I come along as that, then it's probably something that just was naturally always just...
That's cool.
Just that come along with me. Because I get angry at some people when they have a smirk on their face, because I think, obviously, what are you angry about? There's a lot of bigger problems in the world.
Too much to be happy about.
Yeah. Don't take too many muscles to be able to put your smile and make someone else smile. And probably thankful again to my parents for that, because they probably showed me.
Sadly, the 16 grand final was your last NRL game. Mate, did we ever actually see your best footy, or was there more?
Oh, that's one of the questions that I get. Because I thought 2016 was better than 2012.
Did you really?
No, I wasn't scoring all the fancy 100-meter tries and all that sort of stuff. I thought my involvements and what I was doing that was probably better than 12. And a lot of the times, a lot of people don't know that, but I based my game on my defense and my structure and how I set up the thing and how hard I worked. And I thought 16, I was probably better than I was in 12. But a lot of people obviously then wouldn't have seen that. So who knows? As I said, that's one of the who knows or what ifs. Because as I said, I went over to England and adapted and did what I did over there. And it could have been anything. It could have been doing that in the NRL, you know what I mean, the year after with the Sharks again, because I know they went on to another almost quarter or major semi and fell a couple of games short. And I sort of sit back and think that, especially that now, I thought, maybe what if my involvement, and I was still there as a fullback, who knows, we could have went back-to-back.
Let's finish with some positive life chat, mate. You've got four absolutely gorgeous daughters. How is your world now?
Yeah, good. I'm back in Mackay. Just getting on with life. I've got my four daughters with me, Bodie, Bronte, Blaze and Bobby, all growing, getting older. Obviously, they've experienced the footy life too, but they – also, like now, the living in Mackay and being close to the cousins and grandparents. Yeah. And look, mate, I just try and be the best father I can be to them. They're my world, and I love them to death. I'm enjoying my life as it is. People ask me, is it? I do actually enjoy it, because it's at the end, it's probably what I wanted, and where I wanted to be was at the end of my career, was back in Mackay and close to my family and loved ones, and just enjoying every moment I can with them. As I said, my family means the world to me, and them four little girls are, it's hard to put a word on them because they're the loves of my life.
You haven't sidestepped any question, and we have finished with a terrific smile and so much positivity. I love it. 168 NRL games, a premiership winner, a Dally M medalist, a Super League man of steel. I know you well enough to know you've actually got so much more to offer this world than just your footy talents. I look forward to following the next couple of chapters of your life. It's always great seeing your little mate, Benny Barber. You, sir, are a legend.
Thanks, mate.
The best footy talk and live talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Super Pod comes out later in the week, and the Dream Team Series on the weekend. Four podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the biggest names, not about them. Make sure you come back soon. Legends.